So John chapter 3, all the Bible's profound. But there's certain passages at certain times that God seems to breathe on and just seems to want to highlight. And we've the last 2 weeks we've been speaking into the fact that God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. So we very briefly looked at what we're saved from. Haven't gone into it in great detail. Haven't talked about the lake of fire. Haven't talked about, but it's really good to know that we're saved, what we're saved from, okay? Because who believes shall not perish, what we're saved from, but have everlasting life, what we're saved into, what we're saved for, and then what we're saved to. And I like to major on what we're saved to, because that's where the life is. That's where the growth and the revelation is. But I'm also aware that we are saved from. And so I'm not going to talk into that more today, but the last couple of weeks I've touched in on that. We really need to know what we're saved from, because it builds a greater appreciation of what we're saved into and what we're saved for. And also it does heighten the issue of our reaching out to people and our willingness to sow the seed of the Word of God. Spurgeon, Finney, a number of those great revivalists and great preachers, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, those guys had a clear view that if we depreciate our understanding or walk away from the understanding of what Jesus talked about hell, then it'll basically diminish our esteem. It'll diminish our esteem of the cross. There are some people on earth today, even people that are in the charismatic circles, that are coming up with ideas that are trying to eradicate the idea that there is a literal hell. I am not one of those. I believe there's a literal hell. I believe there is a literal heaven. I'm enjoying the fact we're getting greater understanding of what it is to release heaven on earth. But the reality is some of us are only on earth for a short time. And even if you do make 90, it still only seems a short time. Where did all those years go? So the reality that hell is real, and that heaven is real, and that those who believe on the Son of God will not perish. That means be destroyed, be lost, but shall have eternal life is a wonderful reality to live with, because when you know you've embraced Jesus and when you know you've received his righteousness as a gift and you know that all of the junk of your life has been exchanged for all the blessing and the beauty of Jesus through the cross, then you know what you're saved from and what his blood has saved you from, it'll cause a greater appreciation of what you're saved for. Simple as that. And so I've had too many discussions with people who either in a moment where they died on the operating table or in a car accident or in some other situation, some of them experienced or saw into fire. And they knew that they were in terrible dilemma. They were in terrible threat. But then they either were snatched out of that, or they found themselves back in their body because they'd been revived, or they'd been resuscitated or something. And you have those stories. You also have stories of people who have seen into heaven. They've died. They've died for a period of time, sometimes just moments, but sometimes longer than that. And they've had encounters where they've seen into glory, they've seen into heaven, they've seen light that is whiter than anything they've known, but it doesn't hurt your eyes. They've seen the presence of Jesus come out of that light and speak to them and reveal things to them. I want to tell you, there's thousands and thousands of stories like that. And it's not because there's chemical changes in your body as you're dying. It's not because of that at all. It's because we are spirit. We're created in the image of God. We are spirit. The real you, the eternal you, is spirit. It's not bound by your body. It's not bound by the limitations of our soul. It is spirit. And when we're born again, when we're born by the Spirit of God, when God breathes into us, when we receive Christ, we are born again, and we become united with Him. We become one spirit with Christ. Our spirit is perfected. Our spirit is regenerated and rejuvenated. All of those things all at once, and we become eternally a possessor of eternal life, and we've entered into eternal life already. Our bodies will either perish or it'll be transformed. They are the two options. But our body is temporary. Our spirit is eternal. And when you leave your body, your consciousness will not change. As I said, I've spoken to several people, some of them very close to me, who have died at some point. Their spirit has left their body, and they've seen the medical people working on their body. They've seen the nurse rush into the room and then try and do things to resuscitate them or to do things, and then they know that this is not how it should be. And then they've found themselves back in their bodies. I want to tell you, there's just too many stories. Some of you, if I came up and I gave you the microphone, you'd be able to tell your story. But so many people never tell their story because they think people will think they're weird. I want to tell you, my friends, you're not weird. What you were experiencing was the reality of your spirit leaving your body, because the word says without the spirit, the body is dead. But it wasn't your time. And for some reason, either you were resuscitated or God raised you up or did something, or somebody ministered, whatever was happening, and you were back in your body and your body was alive again, because you've still got some stuff to do on the earth. Okay? I could go on a long time for that. I read a book a while ago by a really solid deliverance guy in the state, a Southern Baptist actually, but a Southern Baptist who's filled with the Spirit and has done a lot of ministry in prisons in America. He'd become very well known for having a very strong deliverance ministry to set people free from the demonic stuff that often ended up why they were in prison. And some of the stories he tells in that book, one in particular, I haven't got time to tell, but this particular man had a very strong encounter with darkness and with hell. And he ended up getting saved, but died on death row because the crimes he'd already committed had already got tried, and he was already committed to for the death penalty. But he received Christ, he became born again, he was executed, but at least he's in glory now, okay? But I'll tell you, this realm is so real. I don't know why I'm laboring on this so much, but I just feel, I just got to stay on this a little bit longer. This realm is so real. This is the real realm. The spirit realm is the eternal realm. Everything you can see that is material that we think is solid, and I'm happy that that's solid. Everything we think is solid was created out of the unseen realm, out of the eternal realm, God's realm. And everything was created because God spoke. And that's why everything is. And everything exists is because God's character is absolutely integrous, and there's no chink or no deception in His nature, and that's why His power holds everything together, because it's totally integrous. And when He speaks and He promises something, in that promise is the power to make it happen. And then when that promise lands in somebody's heart who mixes that with faith or receives that in faith, that is the incubation place for that promise to come to pass. But God spoke into darkness where there was no life, there was no light, where there was no material. And His word and His character are so powerful that when that word went out, it formed the very thing that He spoke it to do. And so we have a living God that created everything that is out of a realm that we can't see. That is why people who are locked into materialism and believe that everything that is material and there's nothing else beyond that, it's called materialism. It's not about wanting a jet ski or a boat or a new television. That's not really materialism. That's just But materialism is where you think there's nothing outside the material realm. It's a very weak mindset. It's a very limiting, narrow, unexciting mindset. When you get liberated from that into the knowledge that God is, and that he's all powerful, and he loves us so much that he sent his son to take the weight of the sin that deserved punishment, to take it on himself so that we could be completely free from the corruption that entered the world through sin, and we can be reunited back to him and be his sons and daughters again and know the real reason we're created. Once you get set free from that limited, materialistic, atheistic mindset, the whole world becomes so much more exciting. The whole world becomes so much more full of possibilities. And you can start to live your life expecting miracles and giving thanks for everything because there's life in God, and God has given us this life rather than this narrow, evolutionistic, atheistic, materialistic mindset that can't celebrate anything really that's beyond what it understands. I'm so glad I've been liberated into a worldview that loves and is excited about the power of God, I want to tell you. And I've been chewing up my little bit of time. And so let's go to John chapter 3. There's one little bit I want to draw your attention to. Just verse 14, John chapter 3. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. I like using this sometimes because it's straightforward for anybody who's young in the Lord or not saved yet. But my general translation is the New King James, for those who want to know. And just as Moses in the desert lifted up the brass replica of a snake on a pole for all the people to see and be healed, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up, so that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, one of the great teachers of Israel at the time, and he's pulling on this example of a brass snake being lifted up. And I've spoken to this on two Sundays in a row now for a while, so I'm not going to major on this, but here's the deal. Jesus has been lifted up, and when something is lifted up and has been judged, it's been lifted up in judgment, then when you lift eyes and you look at that thing, when they looked at the brass snake, the venom that was in their system, which speaks of the sin and the deception of the world system, is negated, it's cancelled out, it's disempowered, and life flows back into that person's body. I want to tell you, my friends, when you look at Jesus, and this is not complicated, when you look at the Jesus who's been lifted up on that cross in your heart, when you see that Jesus was lifted up for you, and he was cursed for you, you don't have to be cursed, Jesus was cursed for you, everything changes. Life flows into you. God's breath flows into you. God's love flows into you. God's power starts flowing into you. It starts to rearrange your life and shift things that were bondage and torment to you and begin to release things in your life. And the real purpose of your life starts to get experienced. And it keeps unfolding. It keeps unfolding. It's such an awesome thing, such a powerful thing. So when these guys looked at that bronze serpent lifted up, even though the snakes had been around biting them and killing them, when they looked up, the power of God touched their beings and canceled out the venom, the sin, the all that was trying to kill them. I want to tell you, that's the example that Jesus was holding to Nicodemus to speak of himself. I want to tell you, the gospel is so beautiful, our response is to believe. Religion's response is to work, to struggle, to strive, to try and perform. But the gospel, faith's response is to believe. That's all. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to believe. And when you look at him who was lifted up, Jesus who was lifted up, he's looking for us to believe. Because to believe pays him the highest compliment. To believe says what you're saying is true. To believe saying, regardless of what I think and what I've come to conclusion of in this world system, regardless of all that, I'm choosing to believe. To the Greek, it sounds ridiculous. To the Hebrews, it sounds blasphemous. But to the ones who are being saved, to the ones who the Holy Ghost had come on, it's wisdom, it's power, it's life eternal. He just wants us to believe. 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 He just wants us to trust. He just wants us to embrace him. He just wants us to accept him. He just wants to accept the truth as the truth. And that changes everything. I want to tell you, I had a friend once who was expounding a particular end times doctrine, which I personally find really complicated. And the friend was kind of a little bit aggressive with it and almost kind of like challenged me that if I didn't believe it, then we need to have a good talk. And I said to the person, I said, well, one thing I'm really glad about is that the gospel is so simple, a child can believe it and enter in. I was waxing eloquent one day to my dear dad. I'd just been in a particular set of meetings that spoken to end times teaching and ideas, and I was waxing eloquent, man. I was just with my dad, and I could tell he was feeling like, you know, I was trying to basically say that unless he believed this, he wasn't saved. Gordon, yeah, you know. And Dad just stopped me in my tracks and he said, Wes, he said, do you think I have to believe this to be saved? Because Dad was saved. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God. He was saved. But he said, Wes, do you think I need to believe this to be saved? And it just stopped me in my tracks. And I realized, no. No. Dad was quite good like that. And so what it comes down to this. You can get into all sorts of ideas about how the end times will unfold. And I've got some ideas. I've got some things in the scriptures. But at the end of the day, what God is looking for is to look at the Son who was lifted up. At the end of the day, what he really desires is for you to believe in that one who was lifted up. And that one that was lifted up in judgment for you. When I look at Jesus, it reminds me that he was judged for me. That all of the sin, all of the rottenness, all of the deception, all the rebellion, all the stuff of my heart and my mind was actually laid on him, and he was rebuked and punished for it. He was chastised for it so that I could have an exchange where I get his peace when he had become my sin. Because sin needs to be judged. We've got two options. Either we look at the one who was judged for us, or we rely on our own cunning to avoid the snake. Those are the two options. I've chosen to look at the one who was lifted up. I've chosen to put my gaze on Jesus, the Son of God, whom God sent into the world because he loved the world so much that he wanted to save the world and rescue the people and creation and through them coming into a place of trust of his Son. It's so simple. The arrogant hate it. Because it offends their sense of pride. But God, the Father, wanted it to be so simple that a child could believe. And that's one of the things I just adore him for, because he made it possible for my grandchildren at whatever age to put their trust in Jesus and be saved. So, we were going to go into John chapter 15, but things have gone a little differently. Who do you trust? Do you trust yourself to get it right enough with God that somehow that'll give you some confidence? Do you trust yourself enough to think that you can work things out, and when you've got them worked out, God will accept you? Is that where our trust is? Because if it is, that's really shaky ground. That's like sinking sand. That's bubbling mud. Or do you trust that God is truthful and that he loved you so much that he actually sent his son to stand in the place of the punishment, the judgment, the chastisement for all of our rottenness? And then when we simply open our heart to him and say, Lord, I can't fix myself, I can't heal myself, I can't fix myself, I can't get myself right enough to be somehow comfortable in your presence. When we acknowledge that we can't, when we turn away from our pride, from our independence, from our self-reliance, from our thought that we could somehow get it together enough, when we turn away from that, we humble ourselves and we say, Father, I accept your gift. I accept your gift. And I lift my eyes and I place my eyes on that one that was shed, that died for me. I want to tell you, my friend, somebody here today needed to hear that. Somebody online needed to hear that. We've got the choice of whether we look at ourselves or whether we look at Jesus. Whether we look at philosophy or whether we look at Jesus. That's the choice. Let's all stand. Next Sunday, I'll get into John 15, God willing. We can link hands now, can't we? If you're okay to do that with the person next to you, if you're uncomfortable with that, don't do it. But if you're comfortable to do that with the person next to you, just link hands across the place. Because the anointing in you may actually bless them. Because that anointing with you is so powerful. It's greater than he that's in the world. That anointing in you is so strong, it can deal with leprosy. It can deal with COVID-19. It can deal with anything, actually. People have gotten into the world of the fear of being contaminated, but I want to tell you this, we've really got to focus on who's in us. The devil should be really worried about coming into our presence. Father, I thank you for every person in this room right now. Thank you for every person who's lifted their eyes to the one who was lifted up. I thank you that Satan's venom has no power when we look at the one who's lifted up. You said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw more men to me. And that's not lifting you up in our advertising, not lifting you up in our this and that. That's because people get to see you who've been lifted up. You lifted up on the cross is where the power is. Because when we look in faith, Satan has no answer. Because you, Father, have determined that whoever looks at your Son lifted up, whoever sees Jesus lifted up, would have a power come into them that's greater than any other power in the universe. So today, Lord, whatever's been our focus, we shift it back to you. Whether it's elections here or overseas, whether it's virus issues, whether it's employment issues, whatever the issues are, we lift our eyes to you. We lift our eyes to you because what we focus on, we're drawn toward. What we honor comes toward us. What we dishonor moves away. Father, today I thank you for your great power flowing through every life today. And if you've come into this place today and you haven't known the Lord, you don't know who this Jesus is yet, I want to tell you, my friends, I, at 19, I asked Jesus to come into my life, and it started to change everything. Best decision I ever made by a long shot. Second one was marrying Janet. So I'm speaking from experience. If this was a sham, I would have abandoned it years ago. But I want to tell you, my friends, I've got more stories about the power of God and God doing awesome things. It'd take me a week to tell some of them. So I can recommend to you lifting your eyes and putting your trust in Jesus, the Son of God, and asking Him to come into your heart, welcoming Him into your heart. I can totally recommend Him to you. So if that's you today, I want you to lift your hand, because I'm going to ask you to come up the front and stand with me and receive Jesus. Jesus died for you publicly, very publicly. We can receive Him and acknowledge Him publicly. But for those of you who are online, you can't turn up in the tent right now, you can just put your hand on the screen and pray with me. But if there's anybody in here, you know you need to receive Christ today. If you bought anybody, if you've came with a friend, ask that person if they'd like to come up, and you can come up and stand with them. This is life and death today. This is heaven and hell today. This is the life of God coming into people today and changing them forever. That's the moment we're in right now. So if that's you, love you to come up. Love to lift your hand and show me, and then come up. Lift your hand and show me, and then come up. And then we're going to pray all this together. Lift your hand and show me, then come up. Ask the person next to you, do you need to come up? I'll come with you. Do that, please. Please do that. Ask the person next to you, you need to come? I'll come with you. Sometimes people just need a little bit of extra encouragement, a little bit of extra help. But it becomes a life-changing moment that they are glad of for the rest of their lives. Thank you, Father. Becomes a life-changing moment they're so glad of for the rest of their lives. The people who persisted with me, I am so glad they persisted. Because I was a stubborn, self-centered little person. I wanted God on my terms. God bless you. Summer, isn't it? Yeah, that's awesome. Welcome to winter. Said that earlier. Yeah. And your name again? Nay Nay. God bless you, Nay Nay. You've made a wonderful step today. Life's been pretty rugged, hasn't it? Yeah. You know, your heavenly Father. Your earthly Father, I don't know anything about Him. But your heavenly Father loves you so passionately and so with such purity. He loves you with such purity. Would you like to ask Jesus to come into your life? Would you like to do that? Would you like to do that? Or have you already committed your life to the Lord? Would you like to recommit your life? Is that what you're here for? Or you'd want to recommit your life to the Lord? That's wonderful. If you haven't responded, but you know, no, I wish I had or wish I could, but something is just, then I'm going to get you to, we're all going to pray anyway together, okay? And online, if you pray with me, something powerful is going to happen in your life. Nay Nay and Summer, God bless you. How would you like to pray after me? And if you can, mean it in your heart, the best you can. But God will take you seriously. Okay? How about you pray after me? Father, I stand here today and I've heard about your Son Jesus. I heard that He was lifted up on a cross, being crucified. And I've heard that He didn't do that because of His own sin, but to deliver me from mine. And to give me eternal life. And to make me your daughter. Or son. So Father, today, I invite you into my life. Jesus, be my Lord. Be the one who saves me. I give you all of my sin, all of my pain, all of my hurt, all of my fear. And I ask you to come into my life. Make me your child. I thank you for eternal life. I'm yours and you're mine. I believe that Jesus died for me and that he rose again and he's seated in heaven with you. Fill my life with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, Nene. God bless you. Janet, God bless you.